Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead to that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through. So have no fear. Oh, God can and God will. No matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win.
Mama prayed for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
I die a little every day, so I keep pressing down as I answer your call. Give me more of you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Before we get into this blog, I feel the need to just pray. Father God, we thank you for just coming on the air this morning. We thank you for those that are traveling back to Chicago from the International Women's Convention. We pray even now, God, that you touch them, that you give them grace, and allow them to return back to their various destinations safely. And Father God, I pray even now, God, Holy Spirit, go into the hospital room where Lady Hill is laying, God. You know that body. You know every hair on her head. Father God, I pray, God, that you touch her right now, that you restore her in the name of Jesus, because God, healing belongs to the children of God. And we speak a word right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, move in this blog, God. You allow your anointing to resonate and go out before your people, God, because this is your blog. This is your ministry. And Father God, I'm just a vessel that you're using. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Don't know why, but the Lord just pressed it upon my heart to say a word of prayer before we get into this blog. I thank God for his goodness, and I thank God for each and every one of you that listen to this ministry. And welcome to Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. We are taking this city for the Lord. We are moving like never before under the sheer anointing of God, and we are declaring the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, because there is no other way that we can get to the Father but by and but through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, this servant, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and the CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, but God is the founder and God is the head. Hallelujah. I want to thank each and every one of you that's on the line on this morning, those that will hear this message. And feel free to seed, put a seed in this ministry. Give a financial donation to this ministry. If you feel like this word is touching your heart and is moving you and is strengthening you, then give a seed so that we can continue to spread the gospel, because God has given me another tool. We will be going on the radio soon, and we will be strictly praying for different issues, different situations, different problems. We will be interceding for the people of God and for this nation and for ourselves. So if you feel like this ministry is helping you, give a financial donation, and you can say, Dr. Carey, you can call me at 309-750-7584, or you can email me at azagracmin@yahoo.com and say, Dr. Carey, we want to seed into this ministry. We want to give a financial donation to help you continue to spread the gospel and to help you motivate and destroy the yokes of bondage, because we are taking the city for Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So those are part of my announcements. Praise the Lord. And certainly Amazing Grace School of Ministry, we have one more class. It has been an exciting class for the Lord. It has been moving. We have been talking and we have been addressing trauma. And certainly on this week, we talked about the effects of trauma on children and some of the ways in which we can help our children recover from their experiences of trauma. So if you want to listen and say, Dr. Carey, I don't want to see you. I just don't want to take any tests. I don't want any continued educations. I just want to listen to the word. You can do that at www.blogtalkradio.com, and you can go on Will Thou Be Made Whole. That is the host for the blog, and just look up the episode of Amazing Grace School of Ministry. Now, we have several blogs on the under this category, under this host. So certainly from April 2019 to June of this year, or May, the end of May, we have those blogs on those dates on that host dealing with the effects of trauma. Now, if you go back in 2008, there are blogs dealing with personality traits, personality disorders, and defense mechanisms. So I would encourage you to avail yourselves to those blogs. Praise the Lord. And certainly if you have a Facebook page, you can friend me, and I will personally messenger you the link to those blogs, and you can have them. This blog gets sent out over the airways of Facebook because this is an open blog. But the School of Ministry, those are assigned blogs. So I will personally invite you to those blogs. Okay, let's get into our lesson. Thank God for those that have come on board. Praise the Lord. We're dealing with this. This is a whole new series. We're dealing with living holy in a sinful world. So let's get into the topics. Praise the Lord. Again, thank God for each and every one of you that are on the line this morning. Again, we're dealing with a whole new topic. We're dealing with living holy in a sinful world. So let's read the scripture topics or the scriptures, shall we? Leviticus 19:2. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. 1 Peter 15-16, it reads, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the last scripture, and please take note, please, if you can, write these scriptures down. And the last scripture that I'm going to read, of course, I'm going to have scriptures throughout this lesson, but in the topic lesson or the the topic, these are the topic scriptures. 1 John 5:4-5 read, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. So let's get into the lessons. I need to define some things because this is a whole new topic. We're going to be dealing with this topic basically for the whole month of June. So when we talk about holy, what is holy? To be holy is to live a life free from sin, is to follow the commandments of God and to live after the laws set before us in the Word of God. Now, when we talk about the world, let's define the world. The world is the earthly state of human existence. The earth is with its inhabitants, all things upon it, the inhabitants of the earth. So basically the world is the earth. Okay, it concerns the earth and its affairs as distinguished from heaven and the life to come. So this is earth living down here on this world. It is also the system of created things, a division of generations of the inhabitants of the earth distinguished by living together at the same place or at the same time, a distinctive class of persons or their spheres of interest or activity. Okay, that's definition of the world. Now, sinful. Sinful is being wicked and immoral. Committing or is characterized by sins. Immoral, some of the synonyms is wicked, moral, wrong, wrongful, evil, bad, corrupt, ungodly, unholy, unrighteousness, profane. So those are some of the synonyms and the definition for sinful. So let's get into the lesson discussion, shall we? Now, we are living in a time where immorality rules our cities. Okay, looking on the news, we just saw on the other day, and certainly if you can, and I encourage you to look at the news sparingly. As saints of God, yes, we have to know what's going on, but we have to guard our senses, and we're going to talk about that in this lesson, in living a holy life. So we are in a time where poverty has increased. We are there's uncertainty about health benefits. We see the insurances are going up, and certainly we see crime on the rise. We have a new mayor that's trying to Memorial Weekend is trying to curb the criminal activity in the city of Chicago, but there still was criminal activity. Mm-hmm. We're living in, then we just seen the mass work shooting on television, and I don't know what city it was in. I just know it was a mass shooting, and there was many casualties. So we're living in a time where the scriptures would call the last days. Now, the scripture state in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, then the last days you shall have perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves. Covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. So we see the perilous times are here, and we can see it because violence plagues our streets, our governments. Our governments are not coming together. We have leaders that are corrupt, leaders that are being taken down, leaders that are being taken to court because of their unholy or evil or wrongful or corrupt activities. But there is a notable separation between the church and the world. Now, the Bible states that the believers of old had a way of behaving that represented salvation, holiness, if you will. Now, the Bible continues to admonish us to be holy in Titus 2 and 3. It says that our behavior should be that of holiness. And it reads that the aged women likewise, that they be in a behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things. However, there is a new generation of believers who are well-educated, but we don't follow the principles of Moses. And Judges 2 and 10 read, and also all the generations were gathered unto the fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which we have done for Israel. So we have a society of individuals who do not have the power or the anointing of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit that gives regeneration. And we talked about that last month, about even in our prayers, how we have to allow the Spirit of the Lord to guide and lead us. And in doing so, in order for the Spirit to be a guide to us, there is a certain path and a certain way that we have to walk so that the Spirit of God could take lead in us. So, I don't know why I want to call it 2 Titus, but it's not 2 Titus, it's Titus. Titus 3 and 5 reads, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercies, he saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So there is a metamorphosis. There is a transformation that occurs when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Hallelujah. And you can know and you can tell and you can testify, those of you that are on the line that have a relationship with Christ Jesus, you know that there is things that you used to do that you no longer do because of the presence of the Lord and the Spirit that helps you to walk in His statutes. Okay, the Bible also tells us that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and this is found in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. But we have contaminated our senses with the world's beliefs. It tells us to walk a certain way, but we have contaminated our senses with the world's beliefs. And that's why one of the reasons I continue to iterate, you've got to watch what you look at. And some may disagree with me, but I can look at whatever I want to, and it's not going to affect me. But there is a spirit man on the inside. So because we are part spirit, and everything that operates has a spiritual connection to it, then it affects that part of us. Okay? So we as human beings have a multitude of senses: sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch are our five traditional recognized senses. So as Christians, we have to guard our senses against Satan's influence. And I'm going to read the scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Oh, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So there are still those of us that stand on the foundation who overcome the world. The world needs answers, and they're looking for those answers in the wrong place. They're self-medicating themselves. They're going to the bottle. They're going to sexual immorality. They're going to everything in order to get an answer. But Ephesians 6 and 12 reads, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, this is the New King James Version that I have read. So this world is sinful, ungodly, unholy, rude. The supernatural powers contradict the kingdom of God. So there is a standard of holiness for those individuals who have confessed salvation, have a relationship with Christ Jesus. We are new creatures. And the Bible states in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." As Christ, we are not conformed to the values and the activities of this world. According to Romans 12 and 2, and this is the New King James Version, it reads, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we take on Christ's lifestyle. So things like envy, jealousy, greed, and lust, materialism, is not found in us. According to Titus 2 and 12 and 1 John 2 and 15, these things should not be named among the saints. We are living to live again, and this world is not our home. Satan has blinded the senses of people. I ask, and I want to ask this question to you that are on the line, and those of you that will hear this. Have your senses been blind with the distractions of this world? 1 John 5, verses 4 through 5 reads, "For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is," and again, this is the New King James Version, and I'm going to start from the beginning. "For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcometh the world? But he who believes that Jesus Christ." I will restate that. I want to read the word as it is written. "But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Those have been adopted. These are those that have been adopted in the royal family of Jesus Christ. We don't have to accept what the world tells us. We have overcome the world because we live in Christ. Jumping down to verse 12 of that same chapter and verse and book, 1 John 5, verse 12 says, "He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And again, this is the New King James Version. I like to use different versions so that they can translate it, and we can get just a little bit better interpretation of the word, because we want to be able to break this word down that we may understand this word in simplicity, so that we can walk every day and understand that this word applies to my everyday life. This is what I need to walk. This is what I need to be an overcomer of the world. This is what I need so that I can move forward and understand that this is not my permanent dwelling place. I've got to leave this world at some point. Some point and sometime, this body is going to go back to the dust. But the spirit that lives in me has to dwell someplace. And the question is it going to dwell with Christ, or is it going to find itself someplace else? All right. So Colossians 3 and 23 tells us that we are to set our affections on things above, not on things of this world. In Galatians 2 and 20, it says, "We have been crucified with Christ, and because of him we live. Christ lives in us so that we may live in the flesh, but we walk in the spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh." The world operates on the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. "However, we that are Christ's have continued to crucify our flesh. The Spirit of God allows us to be overcomers, but does not mean we will not face adversity." But that does not mean, even though we're overcomers in this world, that doesn't mean that we're not going to face adversity, because certainly we will and we shall. "However, we are more than conquerors through Christ, who saves us, through his blood, through his walk," because he would never leave us. He's right there to walk us through. He's right there to help us along. He's right there to comfort us. You know, when we cry in the midnight hour, we can just call on the name of Jesus and look like somewhere, somehow, there's joy. And certainly that's how our relationship with Christ brings us to a closeness, brings us to an understanding that I need more of Jesus. I need more of him by my side. God, I hunger and thirst for righteousness. And when I hunger and thirst for righteousness, I read more of the word. I find myself in the word. I find myself listening to things that's going to uplift my spirit. I find myself listening and watching things that's going to give glory and honor to the King. Why? Because I need his strength. Now, the question is, and I still have a little bit more time, how can I live a holy life? So in order to answer the question, we have to live a holy life, we must first understand, and I said what holiness means. It means to be set apart from sin and evil. God is holy. So we have to completely separate ourselves from evil, as I read in 1 John 1 and 5. God calls us to be holy just as he is holy in 1 Peter 1 and 16 and Leviticus 19 and 2. Those were my opening scriptures. But it is vital to understand that apart from God, it is impossible. We must have the Spirit that dwells in us and filling us with his holiness. We can only live a holy life through the power of the Spirit. Spirit, have free will, free control, because it's a gift. God's given it to us. As soon as you confess, salvation is there. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Lead me. And we know, the believers on the show or the line tonight know that the first step is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And all those that will listen to this, the first step to living a holy life is to accept Jesus as your Savior. Ephesians 1 and 13. Hallelujah. I know that I've got believers on the line, praise God. But those of you that will hear this blog, this is how you do it. Once we have taken the steps of salvation, we declare righteousness. We are declared righteous in Romans 5 and 1. But does it really actually look like righteousness to live a holy life? In 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8, Paul emphasizes the purity, and he emphasizes in this case sexual purity as part of holy living. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid moral immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in a passionate lust like pagans who do not know God, verses 3 through 5. And certainly there begins to control not even sexual morality, but even this flesh, period, because this flesh, even when we look at eating habits, even we look at just wanting this when we want it, I want that candy bar, I don't want it, I don't want it later, I want it now. So there is self-control in living a holy life. So obeying or knowing and obeying God's word is the key in John 17 and 7. Hiding God's word in our heart keeps us from sin, Psalms 19 and 11. When we live in obedience to God, we are living separated from evil. We are offering our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1, verses 1 and 2. The purpose of living a holy life is to glorify God and to display his nature to those around us in Matthew 5 and 16. Living a holy life of obedience to God is living true from freedom, is living true freedom from the bondage of sin in Romans 6 and 6. So living in obedience, living the way God wants us, is true freedom. We're not going to be light. The world is not going to accept us. The world is going to hate us because evil does not like good. And this world, the enemy, the principality, Satan, that rules this world, is in full control, and he wants those of us that are living right to, as Job, his wife told him when he had adversity, why don't you just curse God and die? And that's the attitude that the world has when it comes to being separated. You know, now the generations, now the young people don't even believe in God. You know, they don't know the Creator. They don't know the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But I know that there's somebody on this line know that God has worked some stuff out for you, and you can look back in your past and you can say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would not be here today. That's what I'm talking about right there. When we live, when we separate ourselves, when we give knowledge to God, when we walk in his precepts and his concepts, then we love his word. We love relationship with him. And, you know, when we're trying to walk, when we're trying to live in this world, sometimes it's not easy to choose to walk with God, especially if we're trying to do stuff on our own. And, you know, the trick about living right is the fact that all we have to do is to read the word, to seek God, and he will give us the plain path. He will give us the answers. He will give us the understanding. He will give us the wisdom. The Bible says, and I quoted in another blog on Psalms 127:1, it says, except the man buildeth a house. We don't build this house ourselves. We don't walk upright ourselves. We don't do anything of ourselves, but it is of God in which we do these things. So it is Christ. So Satan will love nothing more to bring us back into bondage through disobedience. And my time is winding up. But we have the promise. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And that's 1 John 4:4. The Spirit will produce Christ-like in us as we yield to him. We can live a holy life. Galatians 5:16. Here is the mindset we have to have. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, Romans 6:11. Anytime we face temptation, we shall say, I'm dead to that. That was part of my old life. I am a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, to live a holy life, to separate ourselves from sin, we must see ourselves as God does. Born again children of the Most High God, clothed with righteousness in Christ Jesus. Now, we have benefits for being part of the body of Christ. Fellowshipping with other Christians and making ourselves accountable is the greatest source of strength in living a holy life. That's why we go to church. That's why we have blogs. That's why we go hear the Word of God, so that Word of God can change us, to rearrange us, and to equip us with the tools needed to live in this world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And that is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Now, remember, we are not trying to live a holy life in order to earn salvation. Living a holy life is a natural outgrowth of being saved by God's grace and filled with His Spirit. It is also important not to give up when we mess up. When we fail, our response should be to confess the sins and to keep moving forward in Christ in our Christian walk. In Christ and our Christian walk. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and Romans 8 and 1. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is Romans 8 and 1. God's grace does not go away when we mess up, and certainly we are going to mess up. I mess up. But my desire is to walk right. My desire is to live for Christ. My desire is to repent on a daily basis. We talked about prayer. We went over the Our Fathers and how to pray, and one of those verses says, "Forgive us." You know, and we have to, on a daily basis, repent, because this flesh is not saved. And next week, we're going to talk more about this flesh and the senses, and we're going to talk in depth about how various things that we look at and we see affect our senses and affect how we see things and the underlying spirits that are driven by those things that are broadcast and those things that are on television, those things that we see now. And we're going to talk about those next week, next Saturday. So in conclusion, let me wrap it up. Overcoming the world, Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25 gives us the testimony of those who stood up against their world systems that contradicted Christ and had good reward for their faith. You know, this world, we're going to have faith. We're going to have to stand on faith. By His stripes, we're healed. And we've got to know that. We've got to stand, because that is how we overcome. We must guard our hearts against the world's values and constantly following the following. One, we need to renew our minds to have the mind of Christ, Romans 12 and 10. Pray continuously without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Separate ourselves to the world's values and the ways of thinking, 2 Corinthians 16 and 17. And continue to read the Word of God to be equipped for a victorious living, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. So again, thank each and every one of you that's on the line again. Let us go into prayer. Father God, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for those that have heard your word. Now, Father God, I put it in your hands, and you do the work in the name of Jesus. Father God, is not my will, but thine be done. And certainly, God, let us walk more in your word, God. Take out everything that's not like you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, heal your people, God. They are sick people. And suddenly we lift up Lady Heal on this morning, Father God. We pray even now, God, that you continue to heal her body. The physicians don't know what's wrong, but God, you do. And God, give them wisdom, give them understanding, give them direction to see the problem and to fix the problem. And Father God, we're calling on you right now in the name of Jesus. We're calling on you to give us a mindset to live for you, God, to be hungry and thirst, God, after you, to seek your word, Father God, because it is in you that we live and have our life, God. And Father, certainly, God, we want to live again. So everything that's not like you, Father God, we ask and we repent right now in the name of Jesus. God, we ask, God, that you restore our souls, restore our minds, and restore our hearts right now in the name of Jesus. God, move like never before in our lives. God, you have your way in the name of Jesus. God, fix us. God, deliver us, God. Take out those issues, God, those sinful issues that we have right now in our flesh, God. You know, God, elevate us to the next level, God, for your glory, God, that you may get the glory in the name of Jesus. God, let us see you more. Let us be strong in your word. Let us allow and tell this dying world what they must do to be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I see you guys next week. Bye-bye.